All right, welcome back. Who's Talking? Second half hour tonight. We thank Antonio Rice for joining us. By the way, this is Hobbo, Frank, and Chris, and you're listening to Who's Talking, and a friend of the program, and we're just looking at his statistics, which are really mind-boggling, particularly from the tackle standpoint, but that's what linebackers are supposed to do. So, Frank, fill us in about Charles McDaniel.
Well, Charles played from 1982 to 85. He was a captain of the team, and he played with Antonio Rice, the guest that just preceded him on the air. Charles only had 432 tackles.
Maybe he tackled Antonio a couple times in practice. You never know.
Antonio probably ran the other way, don't you think? But 432 tackles. Only Jamie Sharper in UVA history had more.
Indeed. Well, Charles, it's still early in the season, but give us your assessment of the team overall.
First of all, it's always hard to follow Antonio Rice, so I don't know if this arrangement it works well for me, but Antonio's a good friend. I'm glad he's on the show. I know he's a friend and fan of the show, and it's a pleasure to be here with you all. I certainly thought this weekend's game, it did exactly what I assume everyone hoped, is to build a little confidence while we started a little slow in the first quarter. It was nice to see us be able to run the ball effectively, albeit against a team that was overmanned and not a particularly good team, but a team that was out there and gave everything that they had. I have a lot of respect for VMI. But they were overmatched, and we won in the manner which we should have won. Starting now to create a little identity, that's been my biggest concern, is what is our identity of this football team, particularly on the offensive side of the ball. Through the first few games, there really wasn't much of one. Clearly stated goals of trying to run the ball effectively had not worked out. And it was nice to see our quarterback, David Wadford, open up a little bit. I think we need to see more of that. You know, when you're running an offense like we're trying to run with some read option, with some pistol, part of that is deception. And if you have no deception, it's pretty easy to key on the running back and not worry about the quarterback. We need to do a better job of that. We need to have a little more identity. Some weeks, you know, against better teams, you're not going to be able to do everything you want to do. But we've got to be able to run the ball effectively. We've got to mix in some passes, and both of which still need some more work. You know, you don't go up and play a pit team and not being able to run the ball effectively or mix in some of the various passes that are so essential to success. So it was improvement, and I think that if we continue to improve each and every game, that we can be a pretty good team as the season wears on. So it was nice to get a win, nice to have a shutout. I thought the defense played exceptional, and offensively we're starting to create that identity that is so important for consistent offensive performance.
No doubt. Charles, new defensive coordinator John Tanita has talked about putting pressure on the other team, but not necessarily relying just on the blitz. Explain to our listeners a little bit about maybe what Tanita's shooting for.
Well, you know, I think it's very clear if you watch the first number of games that we are trying to dictate to offenses what to do rather than to sit back and to have them dictate to us. And that basically is his philosophy. It's been his philosophy throughout his very successful career as a defensive coordinator at a lot of big-time programs. And I think another recruiting class or two will have the players that can execute what John Tanuta and the other defensive coaches are trying to instill in these players, and that is to be aggressive, to dictate the pace of play, and to create turnovers. Turnovers are so critical. Generally, you can look at that one line, and sacks, turnovers, big plays, that determines the outcome of the game in most every game, at almost every level. And simply in the past, we weren't creating turnovers. We weren't making those big plays, And while sometimes we play sound defense, we ultimately it didn't translate into victories, and that's the ultimate goal. So I think that's the basic premise, is to be aggressive, to play fast, and to dictate the pace of play, and certainly don't sit back and allow offenses to do that to us. And I think we've been pretty successful, you know, with that, with taking these risks and exposing some of the corners and safeties and single coverage, man coverage. You are exposed, and against a team like Oregon that is exceptionally fast, you pay the price. But I think that is a winning formula for us here. And while we may not have all the players right now, I think the philosophy is sound, and it's fun to watch, and even more importantly, it's fun to play. And as we're recruiting players, when you can tell them that this is the type of defense that we want to run here, and that they're an important part of that, and can be an important part of that for the next 4 years, I think that really sells well. And if we're able to perform on the field, it will certainly translate into victories.
We're speaking with Charles McDaniel, former UVA linebacker. Charles, I know you probably, during most games, you focus your attention on the defensive line and the linebackers. How's the front seven doing so far this year, and what do they have to do going into this big game up at Pittsburgh?
Well, I think they have to do some of the same things that they've done. Pittsburgh is not Oregon, is probably not BYU, but is a sound football team that has played pretty well. I spend as much time looking at the offense and what they're trying to do, and then quickly getting back to then how our defense responds to it. I think they played pretty well. I know the first game, the BYU game, I thought they played exceptionally well. And we need to create turnovers. We need to get some sacks and put pressure on quarterbacks. And I think that's going to be the key to success, because you are exposing your defensive backs out there. We've got to get there. We've got to make the play. And we didn't quite get there against Oregon. Certainly against VMI, I thought the defensive line played exceptionally well. And when you hold anyone to 79 yards, you're doing a lot of things right. And I just would like to see a few more sacks, and we need to make sure that we get some fumble recoveries, cause fumbles, and get some recoveries as well as interceptions. We need to keep working on that and have these players play fast as they can, and I think good things will result, particularly this week. They've thrown the ball very effectively. They have a couple of good running backs, but I think we've got to, again, dictate the pace to them and create some turnovers and sacks. That's the key, I think.
Yeah, just to pick up on that, and by the way, it's Charles McDaniel, friend of the program, with us tonight, former great linebacker at Virginia. I was able to watch a little bit of the Pitt-Duke game. It looks like Pitt's quarterback is a pocket guy, but he is accurate throwing the football. Does that make any difference defensively as to how you prepare for the game?
Well, I think you always respect that, but Tenuta has not changed his philosophy. He was a GA when I arrived at Virginia back in '82, and he is the way he coaches, the way he played, is one and the same. And I don't think it's going to change a whole lot of what he's doing. You certainly want to respect the opponent you're playing, but we've got to get back and we've got to create some havoc and get to the quarterback and make sure that he's thinking about us. When he's thinking about us, he's not thinking about his progressions and reads down the field. And if we do that, I think we'll have him a little flustered, and that'll mean good things for us. I think it's essential that we get three or four sacks this week and a couple of turnovers. Without that, I think we have a real challenge on our hands. And for all the Virginia fans, this is one of those games that I think is critically important to the success of this year as far as wins and losses. I can't count up six or seven wins without Pitt being part of it.
You know, Charles, Mike London today in his 3 p.m. teleconference, he talked about playing a number of freshmen against VMI, and he also reminded folks that Mizell, Harris, and Wingo Reeves had already played earlier in the year. So, you know, with LeChastin Smith, Daniel Hamm, Eric Smith, Sadiq, good luck with that one, Olin Rawaju, Eric Tetlow, Max Fales, and Donta Wilkins. Is he falling into the same trap that Al Groh did, playing so many freshmen instead of redshirting him?
Well, I wish we didn't have to play as many as we have already. Ideally, you know, the good programs are basically redshirting that entire class. Maybe there are a few exceptions to that, but we're simply not there right now. Unfortunately, we're almost back to start again. You know, I know we're all tired of hearing we're young. We've been young so many times over the last 10 years that it gets to be a broken record. There are a lot of teams that play young players. So we've got to stop using that as an excuse. Not that we use it as an excuse all the time, but there are a lot of players, including quarterbacks, including linebackers, that play early. You know, you can play certain positions early because of what their assignments are. Some are just more complicated than others. But I wish we didn't have to, but unfortunately, I think where we are, again, we're young, and some of the better players are some of the younger players. Our offensive line simply hasn't gotten the job done yet in any game the way that you need to control that line of scrimmage. And I think they're trying to find the right mix there. I'm not so sure you're not going to see some changes on that offensive line and perhaps on the defensive line. We're just not at the level where we can redshirt that or a majority of that class. We need to get there.
Charles,
not healthy.
We, as always, appreciate your support of the show, and we appreciate you taking a few minutes tonight to share your expertise. You're one of our unusual sponsors. You really know a lot about the football aspect of things.
Well, I don't know. I sometimes think I act like I do more than I actually do, but it's a pleasure to be. I appreciate you all including me, and let's get a big victory this Saturday at up at Pitt.
Absolutely,
go Hoos.
All right, Charles McDaniel.
Take care.
A terrific linebacker and a business guy up in the Fredericksburg area.
All right, I believe we have Dr. Vince Dalton on the other line. Dr. Dalton, we did get some intel late this afternoon concerning the injury report. Tight end Zach Swanson, who is a regular on the offensive side of the ball, is wearing a boot on his foot as of today. Not sure if that's going to hinder him over the next week and whether he'll be able to play on Saturday. But just to catch us all up, at least we know that tailback Taquan Mizell, tailback Kalik Shepard, and to some degree Maurice Kennedy all have been battling ankle sprains. Taquan Mizell and Shepard missed the game on Saturday. Obviously, they were resting those guys to try to get them ready for the Pitt game, which is this weekend. But the other major injury to allude to, because Dr. Dalton is an expert on hip surgery, is right guard and fifth-year senior Sean Cascarano had hip surgery this last spring, I believe, and then he was not able to recover fully, and then he was declared out for the season, and most likely he's out of football. And so without knowing all the particulars about Sean Cascarano or Zach Swanson's foot, any thoughts on those two types of injuries and maybe what could have been involved and how would they have been dealt with surgically?
Well, a lot of times what we see in athletes with respect to the hip is what we call a torn labrum. It's almost like having torn cartilage in the knee. So a pivoting injury, a twitching injury can tear the labrum in the hip, and we can go in there with what we call the arthroscope, which is basically outpatient surgery, make a couple of poke holes in the hip and put our camera in there. And unfortunately, the hip joint is a relatively small joint as far as room to work around. It's a big joint, but there's not a lot of room to work around with our scope. So we can go in there and either repair or trim out a torn labrum, but unfortunately that is a significant injury for an athlete.
Yeah, we're visiting, by the way, with Dr. Vince Dalton of Ortho, Virginia, and you're describing Haubo's injury, I may need to call you and get on your calendar here. I didn't like that significant injury aspect of things there, but at any rate.
Well, the hip joint is a big joint, and if you tear that labrum, it often is associated with damage to the cartilage of the joint as well and can end up leading towards premature arthritis of the joint. So, unfortunately, going into a hip joint with an arthroscope, there's not a lot of room to work, and there's not a lot of things we can fix readily. So I don't know what exactly he had, but I suspect it was hip arthroscopy, and that's a significant injury and a significant operation.
And Dr. Dalton, on these ankles, a lot of times it just needs time to heal, right?
Right. There's a huge variation in how bad an ankle sprain injury, whether you get just the outside of the ankle, which is more typical, or whether you get the ligaments on both sides of the ankle, or whether the injury actually extends straight up between the two bones, which is known as the high ankle sprain injury. So there's a huge variation as to how big the injury is, how long it takes to recover from. And rest is really the only thing that works for that. Immobilize and then gradually rehabilitate.
Well, both Shepherd and Mizell were rested, so they must not be high ankle sprains. They're out of those boots. They're probably going to be okay for the Pitt game. So
yeah, well, they had the week off, and then they took this week off, so it's 3 weeks between games. But anyway, Dr. Dalton, we thank you for your support of the show, and we thank you for your time tonight.
Certainly. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you, Vince.
Dr. Vince Dalton of Ortho Virginia will be back. Final segment. It's going to be jam-packed, so stay tuned. Who's Talking will return after these messages.